Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Are you a fan of, we're into footy stuff. Yeah. Are you a fan of the send-off? Scott Pendlebury said, have we got this grab or not? Scott Pendlebury has said.
The sin bin.
Here's the audio. Here, let's have a listen.
Hi, Gary.
But I think it should be the action that gets punished. That's, they're not football actions. Yeah, your intention is to hurt. Mm. Watching the NRL, if there's stuff like that happens is, they get sin bin plays, and I don't mind that for our game. If Pickett was to get sin bin, so it's a complete disadvantage. Now you play 17 v 18.
For 10 minutes.
Like, for 10 minutes, 15 minutes, and then you go to whatever. I think it's, those non-football actions, I think we really need to treat seriously and get out of our game.
As we always do, we tribute, and that was on Triple M yesterday.
We don't need to overreact to something that happened at the weekend, but I think it's always worth considering that. A non-footy action, though. I reckon if it means that somebody is disadvantaged, though, too, if it's a non-footy action and it results in somebody having to leave the field, then I say, I would support that, a sin bin.
Isn't there always a scope for what if they get it wrong and you're going to leave a team one man down for 10 minutes?
Well, you go to the arc. Gary, you go to the arc.
Oh, you go to the arc.
You go to the arc and get an adjudication.
Okay.
And is that so a footy action? Because you and I both would know, given the experience that we've had in the game, the lifelong experience that both of us had, and we could ring Panch and we could ring Alan, because your dad and my dad both watch all the footy just for backup in case we got it wrong. Mm. But if we were in charge of making that decision about it being a footy action or non-footy, we had no trouble getting it right.
No.
But no trouble between the four of us. Bev could jump in. Well, Edna would jump in over the top at some stage as well. But
would you but then be happy and comfortable with 17 v 18? I mean, that's a massive change.
Do the crime, do the time.
But then you got, scoring while you're 17, 18. The percentage of footy then becomes an issue.
What do you mean?
What do you mean what I mean?
Well, scoring and percentage, it's just the fact that you've got 17 playing against 18.
I don't like 7. I don't mind the send-off. I don't really like 17 v 18.
Okay, well, you could modify it and say you don't have to play. Yeah, you just don't have to. You just a man down.
That guy's got to go off.
But that man then may have to be off for a lot longer then.
Well, 10 minutes and what about 10 minutes, no rotation?
About 15 minutes and no Gatorade.
Righto.
I want to start where you went off last night because WA... Very few people take on a whole state like you have the courage to do. You were very brave last night. I think it may have had something to do with the fact that you were wearing a Richie Beno beige type jacket on the couch, but you stood up to the mic, you looked straight down the microphone, you delivered a very, very stinging appraisal of the West Coast Eagles.
What's happened to this once feared football club that's the West Coast? And when you boys weren't around when they came into the competition, they came in with a confidence and an arrogance and a strut, and they didn't take a backward step to anyone. They're inoffensive. They play an outdated style of footy. They're bland. And they're only really good at one thing right now, and that's losing. They're the fifth oldest team in the competition. They're playing against the North Melbourne side coming off a wooden spoon and had it handed to them physically. Now, they're the rest Coast Eagles at the moment.
Oh,
they're resting,
geez,
and they're coasting.
The rest Coast Eagles.
Thank you, John.
The rest Coast Eagles. I like it. Inoffensive, bland. They're a losing team. Rest Coast Eagles. Pretty strong stuff from you.
Tim.
In all honesty, that is as hard-hitting as anyone has been in living memory. In living memory.
They're coming off a two-win season last year, right?
Yeah.
Now, there were some mitigating circumstances. I think the circumstances that are mitigating have been taken too far. We let them off the hook a bit. Okay.
Yep.
You can have a year, but teams that have won two games over the past 30 years, every single coach got sacked. Now, Adam Simpson won't because of those circumstances, but it is still a two-win season. So you got 6 months to get it right. 6 months to reflect on a two-win season, 6 months to reflect on where the brand of this football club is in the competition. Right now they're not feared. No one fears the West Coast Eagles. It used to be the most, it used to be the worst trip ever trying to go over the West Australia. So what happens? They come out against a North Melbourne side who are the youngest team of the year. They're the fifth eldest, right? And they lose contested possession by 37. 37, Tim.
What does that say to you?
Well, nothing changed. It says to me that they, as I said, they're inoffensive. And when I say they've become good at losing, they have become accepting of losing.
Yeah. There was a period of that game where they competed and they played hard and aggressive.
Not long.
No, it didn't last very long at all. That's what I'm saying. There was a period in that
game.
So
they could do it.
They could do it. That's what I'm saying. That's exactly what I'm saying.
Yeah.
They chose for a period of that game to really want to compete, and then they decided after that that they didn't want to compete because it got a little bit too hard. I just wonder about the talent they've got available to them at the moment, though, too, which is a whole other issue regarding where they're at as a football club right now.
Okay, so this is the where you've got to – so let's work out where the Eagles are at, and this is their other problem, right? So we know where Hawthorn are at, okay? They've sold this to everyone.
Yeah.
And so people are going to look at Hawthorn this year and probably next year and go, oh, well – this is the path they're going down. Yeah. We know they're going to take hits. But they're the youngest. They cleared everyone out, Tim. Yeah. West Coast are still got pain. They're the fifth eldest.
Yeah, yeah.
And
they're
down in the Hawthorn category. Now, at least Hawthorn turn around and say, yeah, well, we know that because we got rid of O'Meara and Mitchell and Gunston and everyone else.
Yeah.
And we're going youth. So for better or worse, love it or hate it, there's the plan. West Coast are the fifth oldest list in the competition, and they're down near there. Where are they going? What are they doing?
Was there anything different about the way they tried to play too? I couldn't notice it. It just looked like the same style of football that they've been playing under Adam Simpson for the last 5 years.
So 2023 footy is this. It's go forward and go forward quick.
That's the trend.
Yeah, the trend over the last 2 years has been let's move the footy. And, you know, Stephen Hocking would have had a great weekend apart from the fact that the team lost. But his mantra was, get the footy moving.
Yeah.
And so inside 50s, almost the most ever on average, forward, you know, handballs, so forward handball, forward go, handball forward, yeah. go forward. D50 inside 50 goes up. So for the ball movement, and this is what Steve Hocking needed, move the footy from the defensive 50 to the forward 50. Tick, that's gone through the roof, and scoring from the back half. That's not the way the Eagles have played historically. They possess the footy. They go sideways. Yeah. They go slow.
They're slower.
They kind of looked like they wanted to, but they never really got anywhere near it.
Okay. So, how many games are they going to win this year, do you think?
Five.
They'll play better at home, yeah?
I hope there's a response. And as I said last night, if you didn't listen, this is not a cheap try and get a headline. I'm a massive admirer of the Eagles Footy Club, the Eagles, what they stood for. What do you reckon Worsfold and Langdon and Lewis are doing watching their footy club go through the motions right now and not take a stand? Not one player stood up against North Melbourne and said, this is not happening. You know, Jeremy McGovern and Brass, three-on-one in the goal square, Larky takes... Oh.
That was damning, wasn't it?
Jeez.
That was disgraceful. Well, it's going to be ringing in their ears this week because I would think that what you've had to say last night is going to be plastered over the papers in all seriousness over there in WA, and they're going to have to respond to it. I think they've got the Giants at home this week, which won't be an easy game for them either. The Dogs. Now, we learnt yesterday that Rory Lobb has had an ankle operation. He's going to be out of action for a while. He's one of their four tools. Do they abandon the idea of this already, or do they stick at it for a while, the idea of playing the tall timber down there in the forward line?
I don't think you can abandon it, just if that's what you're committing to after one game.
You got to stick a little bit longer, don't you?
I think you got to try. Yeah. But this is where they're at, is that Rory Lobb is like a once every five games kind of
clunker,
key forward that you want. Sam Darcy is a kid, so don't worry about Sam. Dougal Hagan is just out of being a kid, so he's still trying to work out how to be week in, week out consistently good. And Aaron Norton's a superstar.
Yeah.
So they got one genuine. The other three are still for youth reasons. And the other one, as you always say, when someone shows you who they are, believe them.
Believe them, yeah.
So, you know, the Bulldogs could recruit Rory Lobb and hope that he's going to turn into Aaron Norton, but he ain't. He's going to be a bloke who every 3, 4, 5 weeks will have a game and go, wow.
And this is your domain, the forward line setup and the tools. It's not easy for guys to play alongside each other and understand which space they're going to get or which space they're going to be able to command.
Yeah.
Because most of them like to have a little bit of room around them, don't they?
They do. And Sam Darcy, who I think may end up being the best of all of them, or certainly go past Jamara and Rory in time, he's just like, he's still working it out.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's not a criticism. I don't even have to say that. That's not a criticism. That's just what happens when you're a big key forward kid. You're still working out where to go and where to run and what patterns you're doing, all that sort of stuff. They've still got, they've got a lot of work.
Okay, at the other end of the ground, they had a different looking defence as well. I mean, Liam Jones got injured. He went off the ground, but you know, he was there for a little while, and Cam Bruce went back there, and then they got Lachie Keith back there. He's lost a lot of weight. Not Lachie Keith. Alex Keith back there as well, who's lost a lot of weight. Are they better? Do you think they're better served down back than what they are?
We didn't get
up forward.
Good look at, because Liam Jones went off with the injury, of course. But I think they're okay in the back half. I don't think they're great, but I think they're okay. Their midfield's always been their great strength, and that's also changed a bit. So now, on the back of 1 week, they're going to stick with it, although it'll be a different look. I think in the end, my philosophy with kids: start them back. All right, start them back. Always, I've been saying that for years. You know that Sheasel could have played that kid anywhere.
Breakfast with Gary and Tim.
I don't know how many cashmeres hit the deck making those jumpers, Gary, but well worth it.
Ordered a truckload of cashmere jumpers.
I'm going cashmere this winter, yes. It's a new cashmere look.
And autumnal colours, or are they pastels?
Can't say. You'll see. I feel wardrobe did Gary an awful disservice last night. I could not take my eyes off that. This is off the text. Salted caramel ice cream blazer with the chocolate pocket hanky.
I'm not sure I'll be taking wardrobe advice from our audience, but anyway.
That's from Karl Lagerfeld.
Ben Brown's got a new look, and it seems to have
worked. I like it a lot.
You liked it?
I do.
And did a great thing for charity, by the way. He raised a heap of money and then went out and kicked 4 lazy ones against the Dogs on the weekend. He joins us on the line. G'day, Benny.
Hello, gents. And I reckon probably pastel over autumnal for me.
Pastel cashmere.
Well, you're going to have... Stand by. Hasn't been unveiled yet.
You might have to turn the old radio down, Benny, because we're getting a little bit of feedback there. That's okay. Hey, it was a great start last Saturday night against the old rivals in the Western Bulldogs. It was a bit of an arm wrestle, but you'd opened up after half time.
Yeah, it did. I think the way they played in probably the first half, they obviously got it on their terms for a little bit of the game. But the way we're able to, I suppose, rest back momentum and get the game looking a little bit more like the game we wanted to play, was pretty pleasing. So that was what we talked about after the game, and it's all positive signs, I suppose, moving into next week.
Hey, Ben, congratulations on your game too. You looked as sharp as you've ever looked out there.
Oh, thanks, Tim. Felt pretty good. We've had a big pre-season, and I suppose as a team and individually, you just hope that all the things you've been working on and the things you've been putting in place come together. And it was positive from a team perspective, and you know, nice individually to kick a couple of goals too, but I think the way that we play, we're pretty multi-pronged sort of attack. So I think whereas it was probably me and Cozzy finishing it off this week, you'll likely see different goal kickers coming in over the next few weeks, and hopefully we'll share the load a bit.
That ball movement, did that make it easier for you?
When you move the ball quickly, like we're able to do in the second half when the game probably broke down and opened up a little bit, it definitely makes it easier as a forward. I think if you asked any forward in history whether they prefer it to be quick ball movement or slow, they'd probably say quick. But I think the thing for us was that we were able to defend really well, and that was what ended up opening the game up for us, I think, was the way we were able to shut down what the Bulldogs were trying to do. And, you know, that's why... if you ask any coach out there, they'd probably say that defence defence wins premierships, and we're not winning premierships in round one, don't get me wrong, but I think the way we're able to defend probably set up the game the way that we wanted to play it from an offensive point of view. So that was really pleasing for us as well.
Hey Ben, Melbourne started the season last year unbelievably well too. Is there a difference in this team, do you feel, in the way that you're going about your business compared to last year?
Well, I suppose there's a lots of different aspects to last year. I think we've got a very similar list. We've obviously brought in a couple of pretty good recruits, in particularly Lockie Hunter and Brody Grundy that you saw the other night, which is definitely a positive. I suppose, you know, towards the end of last year, we were probably a bit sorer than we were the previous year. And while you don't want to make excuses, I think it does make a difference when your best players, you know, we had Christian Petrarca playing with a broken leg in the finals, and Maxi was a bit sore too, and a few others. When your key players are sore, it does make a difference. But I think we have tried to, I suppose, move with the times a little bit and just tweak a couple of things in the way that we play. And I think that's, you know, so far it's only one round in, but we're feeling pretty positive about the direction we're going.
Challenges keep coming up to Brisbane against a team that whacked out of the finals last year, so no motivation needed?
Oh, no motivation needed, but I think the Lions will come in with plenty. I would assume after copping the loss that they did in round one that they'll be pretty keen to make amends for that. They've obviously got a really talented list, and you know, we've sort of had that penciled in round two for a little while in our diaries. So yeah, we know that we'll have to be 100% switched on and ready for a game where, you know, Brisbane are a high scoring team with a lot of talent up front, particularly. So we know that if you're not on against that team, they can put you to bed pretty quickly. They're similar to Collingwood in that way. So it'll be one where we'll have to be switched on right for the first bounce, that's for sure.
Talking to Ben Brown, and Gary has named Max Gawn as the best demon that he's ever seen, Ben. And that is saying something for somebody who's been around as long as he has and played alongside some of the superstars that Melbourne has produced over the years. Maxie, how do you see him as a leader and as a player? Is he that good, do you think?
He's very bloody good, I'll tell you that. I think the way he sets himself up in terms of the way that he trains is the thing that probably stands out for me. I think he, as a leader, you want leaders to lead from the front and lead by example. And I think, you know, he's obviously a good media man. Like, he speaks really well in front of the media. He's good at giving you a pump-up speech before the game. But I think that's kind of the cherry on top for a leader. The way he trains, he drags other guys along with him. And we've had a pre-season where he's been a standout performer again. You know, just the way that he comes out every training session and wants to improve or put his best out there, you know, he's just consistently one of the best on the track. And that's saying something from a guy who's 208 centimetres too in pre-season. Generally, it's probably not necessarily a big man's caper, the pre-season. That's where you see the time trial runners come out to play. But Max has always put his foot forward from the minute I stepped in. And I think that's, you really see that when it comes to round one. It all comes together, and it's not just Maxie's talent and suddenly he switches it on. It's months of putting in the hard yards to get to that point. So as far as the player's concerned, just incredibly impressive, and it's little wonder to us within the club why you see the performances you do on the weekend.
Yeah, well said. Hey, yeah, it's always good to have competition for spots, and I think it sharpens everyone's focus. So over the summer there was a lot made of Joke Van Ruin, or Royan, you can tell me how to pronounce that last name, who was almost accepted that he was going to be at one of the forwards, and then it was up to you and Tom McDonald maybe to work out where you fit in. But you guys have got that spot. You know that he's there, so it keeps you pretty honest.
Yeah, certainly. Big Roy has had an amazing pre-season. He trained really hard. I think, you know, for only a second-year player to come in and really apply himself to his pre-season like he has, he was, you know, not only shaving time off all of his running and putting beef on in the gym, he was competing really hard. I think that's what you'll see when he does come into the team. I'm sure we'll see him this year at some point. It's just his competitiveness and his ability to crash packs. He reminds me a little bit of Drew Petrie at North Melbourne from my time there. He's an incredibly impressive kid and a great young person too. You like to think that the club brings really good people into the club and not just good footballers. And, Big Roy's definitely one of those. So he's got a really bright future ahead of him. And it's super exciting to have someone like that you train alongside.
And before we let you go, Ben, you're keeping the very sensible short back and sides, or are you going to let it grow again?
Remains to be seen. I think I'll grow it for a little bit and see where I like it. So.
Hey, well done on the charity raising of the money as well. It was a great gesture. And, good luck for the year ahead. It's a nice start.
Thanks, Gary. Thanks, Tim.
On you, Ben.
Ben Brown. Who had the 15 touches. He kicked four. He worked deep into defence and took a couple of grabs.
He looked really sharp, though, didn't he?
He had some bad injuries.
Yes, yeah. And I think maybe we didn't really understand how bad they might have been. He just looked like the best of Ben Brown again the weekend.
Mark from Vermont, thanks for your feedback. We appreciate that. He's enjoyed that interview with Ben, and we try and get to all the clubs. So good on you, Mark. Really appreciate your SMS.
And Maxie better than Robbie Flower?
I saw Robbie towards the end of his career, obviously. I played with him towards the end of his career. I wasn't a Melbourne fan, so I didn't really get to see him at his peak through the sort of early 80s. But I've got Max, and I'll tell you what, the other two, by the end of their careers, you just might be watching three of the all-timers, or the all-time Melbourne players. Because Petrarca and Oliver are right there with them. And that's a rare thing. Like, you think of all the history of Melbourne or the history of Essendon and all your great players. And if you had three modern-day greats or modern-day players who were going to compete with them, it's pretty rare.
That's extraordinary. It's extraordinary. You know, the other byproduct of having somebody like Max, who's the leader, and you get so much with him apart from just what he does on the footy field, is like somebody like Grundy, and I'm not saying that Grundy's never ever taken a shortcut in his life in terms of his preparation, but he goes there to Melbourne – and he's got this other bloke alongside him now, and he's looking at him and he's thinking, gee, like he even goes harder than what I do.
Yeah.
It may even drag him up to another level that we haven't seen from him before.
It's a good point. I think someone like a Josh Shackey might have got to that football club and had his eyes opened about how hard they work and how hard they train and the running they do.
And that's the legacy these players leave. It's like, you know, we talk about Joel Selwood and what he left behind at Geelong and other players that have been there. And that is the culture that they actually are part of, improving and then developing and then leaving as a legacy for a football club. So, I mean, they're enormously valuable players.
Breakfast with Gary and Tim.
Oh, it's a bit of Nova stuff here just to make the boys feel comfortable.
Oh, I got more than that to make them feel comfortable.
Have you?
Well, we got Brown, we got Pang, and we got Swanee.
All the umpires for giving me your vote.
Wrong Swan.
Is that the wrong Swan?
Don't start doing.
Jeez, you've had a big weekend, Tim.
That's the wrong Swan.
Don't start doing set up jokes.
Is that the wrong Swan? Wasn't that the. I'm sorry.
Oh, my God.
What's going on with those studios? You've got your own McCafe.
Oh, you just start talking whenever you feel like it, before I even introduce you.
Well, there's no use waiting for an intro. But thank you.
Oh, you're taking too long, Gary. The last show on the road.
The last time I came in, three or four weeks ago, there was the biggest build-up you've ever seen, Brownie, right? It was unbelievable.
Still talking about it.
Yeah, and then today on the way in, you were just throwing it away like I was the bloke from Keyser or something. I just don't understand, mate. I don't know what happened. It's big. This is big.
You didn't hear me out of six. That's when I went really hard.
He did.
The two voices, well, they're as well known as anyone in the entertainment industry, of course. They dominated breakfast radio on the FM band on our sister station for a long, long time. And now they got that much money, they said, we don't need to take the check. We'll just go and wander off. And Sam Pang and Jonathan Brown in the SEN studio is a great joy for us. Welcome, gentlemen.
It's great to be home. It's great to be home.
Home
this is where I started.
Indeed.
This is where I started 20-odd years ago on SEN, my first paid gig in the media, was with SEN Breakfast Wispy, Gaz and Billy.
That's you were up in Brisbane and we crossed to you regularly, did we?
You crossed to me every Monday. I think it was Monday or Tuesday.
Can't you remember?
And you paid me the King's ransom of $50 per episode.
Not bad sheets for you back then.
Overs.
You weren't producing. You got a greyhound for us. That's what you did.
I did, yeah.
A blind one.
Mum got him a greyhound. So Mum was training dogs. The beautiful Mary Muggerman Brown, yes. And so the boys got all excited and wanted a greyhound. So I rang Mum and said, "Mayors, can you get a greyhound for the boys?" She goes, "No worries, I've got this dog called Donald." And so they named it Morning Glory. Yep. And it won its first race.
Flying
really? The sheep. Yeah. And that was in a Horsham Maiden or something like that in the daytime. Then it ran at nighttime. And after about three or four failures, my brother rings me up and he goes, "Mate, that dog has just been diagnosed as being blind."
We had to put a rattle in the rabbit.
This is a big thrill. This is a big thrill to be back because I haven't actually, you know, Brandon and I haven't. We finished Breakfast Radio on Nova. Yes, on December 2nd. So we haven't seen each other since. Mm. Obviously, the protests on Saturday were together, but
that's a sharp stuff.
Oh, that is sharp. He's been sitting on that one for a while.
I couldn't get in. There was a blind dog story going on. No, it's wonderful
he's
to be
just,
back.
You know what he's doing? I listened to Ricky Gervais on Smartless yesterday. This is what they do. They take new material out there and they just give it a run. That's what he's doing with us this
morning. He's given his new stand-up material a test run.
There's no stand-up to it. Hey, I just wanted to, because I've been listening on the way in.
Oh, yeah.
So you were telling
you
me.
You listen every day,
Yeah, I absolutely I do. I podcast it. I catch up. I'm about 4 years behind. But you know, the return of the coaches was a big one. Clarkson, Lyon and Scott.
That's right.
Can I put it out there?
Yep.
Watson. Return of coaches. You're the only one in here that's a coach, Tim.
Yes, that's right.
Come back and coach a club.
Immediate success.
Well, the phone hasn't rung for a while. And that's a bust. I think I'm the only person who's ever coached that then hasn't had a follow-up appointment with anyone. No one even contacted me about an assistance role, Brownie, after my coaching performance.
What was that?
Well, I think the record probably speaks for itself.
The funny thing is, I should have called you because that's off limits. I've not been allowed to go to the coaching stuff for the last 5 years.
What do you mean? I didn't know there was a talking. There's some areas I'm not allowed to talk about. Tim.
There's no area that you can't go to.
I thought we'd always be, you know, we can just talk about whatever we want in
You
here.
Can talk about whatever you like.
Whenever I'm with Brownie brings up ADBC, my first big hit on SBS.
Well, that was the question. You know, questions without notice. I just wanted to know, Sam, how many episodes?
Oh, we're starting this, aren't we?
Questions. All right. He's a listener.
Question without ADBC. How many episodes did it run?
26.
And how come it was sacked? You've never fully explained why ADBC, which you were the host of back in the day.
What is ADBC?
ADBC was my first ever television show. It was a comedy quiz show about history.
Right.
And it was 26 episodes. And they all ran.
Right.
Mm. Were you a contestant or the host?
I was the host.
Right. Okay.
And in hindsight, we found out in a brutal fashion that with a quiz, it's good if the host knows the answers to the questions. But it started off in a half-hour format.
Yep.
And by the end, it was whittled down to they just wanted to show it in five-minute interstitials. And the last time it was ever on SBS, it was 4:55 a.m. leading up to the Korean news at 5 o'clock.
In English or subtitles?
No, I still had... I had it in English, but I've had it on very good authority that the Korean news were not happy with their lead-in.
Yeah.
The number were down.
I'm also hearing that the Korean version of the show is still running and the highest rating show over there in South Korea.
Mate, it was a debacle.
Hey, you two, we got the temper text here. Which,
yes.
Singing too at the moment. Have a look at that.
The appreciation for you two is great. Get Panger to explain last Tuesday at the Q Golf Club. I said to him, "Rip a day, mate." The swift reply of, "I'm about to ruin it by playing golf." A little bit of humour for the fans.
Yep.
It was nicely done.
Thank
and then,
you.
Then I saw him hook one off the second. You're big golfers, both of you. You'd spend half your life playing golf.
Hook one off the second?
Yes, you did.
Around the corner, it's a dogleg left. Well, I almost drove the green.
Well, Bo says you
whatever.
Did.
Whatever.
Actually, I got one off the temper text, guys, on that subject.
that's good, considering you haven't even got one in front of you.
it's for Sam, actually. So this is from...
He's setting up his stand-up.
Oh, sorry.
This is from Gary from Dramana. Sam, do you think your fellow members of the Q Golf Club appreciated you and Brownie winning a prestigious board event in your first year of membership?
That's a good question, Gary.
Yeah.
Well, you know that, don't you?
No, don't. Jonathan, tell us about it.
Brownie and I joined Kew Golf Club. Yeah, and then very, very early.
Very exy.
The amount of mentions we get, there should be a little discount, but it's not. And we ended up winning a board event. What's that mean? Well, you know, when you go into those clubs, it's all, there's big boards and there's, you know, all the names.
Like the Gary Lyon room at Kyabram.
Oh, jeez.
Here we go.
There's a crowbar. How'd you get that in? Unbelievable. Anyway, we ended up winning this event. So we are now there, etched in, you know, for the rest of time, Tim. So a very big thrill.
That is a great thrill.
It wasn't well received. We were members for about 3 months. Right. We entered this contest. So I think we had respective handicaps of 33 and 31, which you play to. And so obviously, you know, the fellow members, I don't think it went down that well. So not a presentation on.
Who swings best out of the three of you?
Sam's a big hitter. He's often referred to as Jumbo Ozaki.
Well, only by you, by the way. Jeez, Tim liked that one.
He did like that one.
Any sort of racial element. You're really not yet.
No, don't go there.
No, he's a big hitter, Tim. He's a big boy.
He's a big hit. I've been waiting, just a big hit. That's what he is.
The old temper's zinging through. I've been waiting for this one. Sports. It's a sports with network, no? When are you going to... So, it's good to have you, but we'd like to talk some sport.
Good point.
Well, I've got a question I want to ask Brownie. I've been sitting on this for a long, long time because Mark McVeigh has said this, and I want to know whether it's true or not, okay? You sledged him out on the ground, apparently, when you were playing against each other. You said to him that you were going to eat him, right? And he says... He says, in response, are you going to use that same bowl they used to cut your hair? Is that true or not?
That is actually true. Very good, boy.
That's a great sledge.
Hey, geez, he can go toe-to-toe with Pang on stage with that sort of comeback.
Hang on. So you, in a fit of anger and frustration, have turned to Mark McVeigh and said, I'm going to eat you.
Yes. to put it in the context.
Did you think it was too nuanced? That sort of sledge. Do you think there's too many layers?
This was back in the good old days at centre bounce where you could pick blokes off. Considering obviously all the concussion chat we go through.
No, we've just been talking about that.
I don't condone those sort of acts.
No one.
Thank you. Okay, there's the rider.
I've mellow.
Yeah. No, good.
Well, but often when I'd see Spike out of the corner of my eye, I'd think this might be a good opportunity.
Couldn't have chomped.
Just to clean this bloke up and just eat him with a knife and fork. Hey, one for you last night.
Off the last temper text?
The temper tweet. This is another question without notice. Yeah, this is for Tim Watson.
Oh, yeah. Good.
Who is a great judge of footballer. He's watched for a long time.
A long time.
He's a connoisseur of the game. Gary Lyon last night said that Max Gawn is the best Melbourne Demons player that he has seen in his lifetime.
I
can't think of a better one. I can't think of a better one. I'm with you on this. I've seen them all.
You saw Robbie Flower.
I've seen Robbie Flower.
At his best.
Not playing in the best team, though, like Max Gawn is playing.
Well, that makes it more admirable.
Well, it can, but it can discount your achievements as well in some way. I think he's the all-round best player that I've seen at Melbourne in that time. You were good, Gary. You had some moments... which you reflect on constantly. In fact, there's not a moment of his career, you two, that I don't know about now.
Did you know he kicked 10 in the final?
Oh, I know. He can go through every goal. He knows exactly how the ball was delivered to him or wasn't.
2.5 quarters.
I want to say, that is a ridiculous thing what you said last night about Max Gawn. Max Gawn is nowhere near as good as you. You were a much better player than
Max Gawn. That's not for me to say.
Max Gawn is not even as... Max Gawn is a poor man's Danny Hughes. There you go. That's what I mean. He's not even in the top 10. By the way, I watched the Cats last night too. Did you watch it, Tim?
Yes. Oh, no, I couldn't because I've lost the remote. I've lost the remote to the maths.
Fair enough.
It's stuck on Channel 9.
But that news thing you got at the end. The
big call.
Big call.
That's been big.
I've got a big call.
Right.
I had a big call.
What is it?
First sacking of the year.
Who?
It's the producer on Couch who's somehow kept Good, the Bad and the Ugly.
Oh, come off it.
How is that still on?
That's a great segment.
That's good.
Do you like Good, Bad and Ugly, Timmy?
I love it. No, that's one of my favourite parts of the show.
Righto.
I got there just in time to watch the Good, the Bad and Ugly.
We'll take a break in a moment and I'll be back with a critique of the front bar.
Okay, and we'll be talking about your wardrobe. What do you think of his wardrobe? Because he's very happy with his Richie Beno beige type suit.
Picture of sartorial elegance as he always is.
Do you want some feedback off the temper, you two?
Yeah, okay.
Sam is more Lee Trevino than Tex-Mex.
All right, I'm going.